Welcome into Texans on Tap, episode 33. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Palillo and at Josh Jordan 975. Gents, this was a season of exercising some demons for the Texans, and specifically in this last game of the season for the Texans. This was the first time in franchise history, at least in my recollection, they've beaten the Colts in a meaningful game, and it was not easy. One of the things I really liked that C.J. Stroud said earlier in the week was that it's not about next year. It's about this year. And the Texans went out and played that. It wasn't always pretty, but they did what they do, which is do just enough on offense. C.J. does some things that are amazing. The defense bends but not breaks. Let's start with C.J. Stroud because he came out of the gates firing. First play, 75-yard hookup with Nico Collins to kind of set the tone, or at least they tried to. They answered back to the Colts who struck first. Charlie, what did you see out of C.J. Stroud tonight, and how do you grade that, especially given this guy's a rookie?
Yeah, So I don't forget as we get going, I just wanted to note I find it amusing that a different stadium, but at least in the city where for years Jim Mora was the head coach of the Colts, playoffs? We're talking about playoffs. Yes, we are. Stroud, until the one incompletion at the very end of the first half by the kind of silly formula that sets the official quarterback rating, Stroud was perfect. 158.3, 10 of 12, over 12 yards per attempt. Obviously, the 75-yarder to open the game to Nico. You know, there was the one throw that Aikman commented on the telecast. There was a lot of traffic there, but he put the ball high where Schultz was the guy who got his hands on it. So just another turnover-free game from C.J. Stroud in a rookie season, chock full of those. Right? Just five interceptions. All right, he missed two games. So 15 regular season games with just the five picks. We also haven't seen in-pocket fumbles from him for a while. So just a capper to a magnificent rookie season, gets over the 4,000-yard mark, and yes, statistical thresholds in the 17-game schedule, you need to asterisk some things. But it's one of the most fabulous rookie quarterback seasons we've ever seen. And so a team that was 3-13-1 a year ago in a league which is built for stuff like this to happen. Teams go from last to first, go from double-digit losses to double-digit wins. But there's no sense of entitlement or assumption that it happens. And so that C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, obviously the two forces behind this near 180-degree turnaround, amazing. I will say now they're playing with house money. Wherever they're at in the playoffs, unless it turns out to be a home game in round one, at Indianapolis against a Colts team that had a similar narrative to the Texans, garbage a year ago, 9-7, a chance to get in the playoffs. This was a tremendous opportunity. So forget about next year or next week. That was a game that had the Texans lost, it would have still been a tremendously successful season, but with a bitter aftertaste or end note. Well, now you can dismiss that and game plan for somebody next week.
Yeah, I mean, just from the first pass from Stroud hitting that bomb to Nico Collins, and then he bookends that with that touchdown drive at the end of the game there where Singletary punched it in. But some of those throws he made off his back foot to Nico Collins on the sidelines, and the throw he made where Nico had got the horse collar tackle on him, incredible. You know, you listen to Troy Aikman talking about it. The guy's just unreal, and it's pretty amazing that this is the first time, you know, the national audience is really getting to see this guy play. We kind of, you know, made some jokes about Cowherd, about not knowing a whole lot about the Texans. And I think everybody knows a lot more about the Texans than C.J. Stroud. And I couldn't be more as excited as a Texans fan. I almost had a heart attack there at the end of that game. They couldn't stop Jonathan Taylor. But when you needed C.J. and you needed Nico, and we got to give some credit to Nico Collins there, because when you look at the stats from this game, outside of Nico and Dalton Schultz, yeah, no other receiver had more than 10 receiving yards. It was all Nico and Schultz. Mechie really didn't do anything. So it was all those two guys. I was really worried when Robert Woods didn't play and Noah Brown. They certainly needed them, but Nico stepped up and Texans are moving on.
The 17th game. Hey, the players didn't make the schedule. They agreed to add the 17th game. So we do have to make the allowance for that. But with a two Bills type of game tonight, right, a third 150-yard plus game for the season for Nico Collins, you add it all up, and the import of this game I'm not saying it's right there with Andre Johnson's best season with the Texans or DeAndre Hopkins' very best season with the Texans, but it's a very worthy bronze medalist player performer. And you know, when he was on the sideline, they had one shot of him on the sideline at some point in the second half. It's like, what the hell is he doing on the sideline? I guess he was entitled to a breather here or there because save the couple plays that Schultz did made, he was a one-man show, and it was a hellacious show. I mean, that throw on the sideline really looked like a throwaway, right? Until you see the high angle, the 22, and Collins, you know, like a center fielder coming out of nowhere to make a diving catch in the gap to go get that ball on the sideline. Just stupendous.
And quickly, I also want to give CJ even more credit. The running game, it did not work at all. Yeah. The Colts got whatever they wanted on the ground. Singletary, 23 carries for 59 yards, about 2.5 yards per carry. And I thought something to note, Damian Pierce, 0 carries in this game.
And whether it's Texans ghosts past, older fans thinking Oilers type stuff, Fairbairn hadn't missed a kick since September. Right. Week two, a 51-yard field goal against the Colts. Indy, I understood why they tried the 57-yard field goal, but you miss it. You gift the Texans field position in midfield, one first down, and Fairbairn hits the 51-yarder. But then you get the go-ahead score in the fourth quarter. And I'm not going to say he choked the extra point, right? You're up six. It's not like, oh, if I miss this extra point, we lose the game. He just blew it, right? He just pulled it left. His first man. So, of course, we all know as the Colts are going down the field, touchdown, and they make their extra point. And 24-23. Fourth and one, Shane Steichen will have to live with it. You know, just running Jonathan Taylor, I understand not doing that. But they throw the ball to a guy who hadn't touched the ball the whole night. He had 19 touches the entire season. Minshew throws it behind him. You could say catchable ball, but to me, that play, the failing for the Colts ultimately on Minshew and Steichen, much more so than whatever the running back's name was and is.
But the play was there to make. Goodman had the ball. Even it wasn't a well-thrown ball. Is a little bit behind him, but it was on his fingertips. I mean, another...
He's not that Goodman.
Touche. Touche, you know, again, like not necessarily the best throw for Minshew, not necessarily the best effort to bring it in. Texans get a little lucky there, but Josh, I want to go back to something you said because it's something that really was going through my mind while I'm watching this. Devin Singletary, you talked about it. I mean, what, it's like 63 yards for the game, one touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, 188 yards on the ground. The Texans absolutely get run off the field on the ground, but the offense is able to make it up in the air. 246 passing yards to 133 to the Colts. We talked about how CJ Stroud could be the difference in this game because quarterback is so important in this game, and CJ is the better of the two. He really showed that today. And again, nothing like super flashy, never really played outside the game. But Charlie, you hit on a couple of the highlights. Just when he really needed to step up, he did. What did you guys think of Bobby Slowick's play calling in this game while we're talking about the offense?
Well, look, when Nico Collins is the only wide receiver, I mean, respect to the other guys who are professionals, but worth a darn. Right. Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie, they're not legit regular snap count wide receivers. Now, Dell, obviously, they've been gone without for weeks and weeks now. You know, Robert Woods, it's not like he was having a bang up year, but he's a legit NFL receiver possession guy. So they were playing the short stack there. They stay trying to run the ball just so the Colts pass rush should just tee off getting after CJ Stroud on every snap. And one more feather I want to put into Stroud's cap or helmet, tactical running, right? He's not a running quarterback. He's not a Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, look to take off all the time type guy. But one element on top of that, Stroud gets down diving forward, right? Quarterbacks protect yourself, protect yourself. You slide, but you give up a yard or two. And, you know, third and 10, you slide. You can have fourth and one. Instead, Stroud, he dives forward and gets where he lands and bounces and where he's touched down. And so whether that's just his instincts or he's been specifically coached to go head first, unless you see a guy really bearing down on you, and then it's on the defender to avoid the cheap shot and the officials to make the call. But Stroud, he's just so smooth and savvy. And for a rookie, you'd have to say special.
Yeah, what surprised me was the lack of Singletary in the passing game. When we previewed this, I talked about how the Raiders running backs had six catches against them last week. The week before, Bijan Robinson had seven catches, and you're down receivers. You would think you would have to use Singletary a little more, but they didn't. The other takeaway for me is just the penalties. I mean, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. What was it, over 10? And all the false starts, my Lord. And, you know, that stuff, that's just, you know, the snap count, you know. So there was some stuff on defense, hands to the face, and, you know, normal stuff that you see in football games. But all the false starts, Tunsil with two of them right away early in the game. So that's something, hopefully they can get that cleaned up. And maybe the game's not this close if they don't hurt themselves so often.
Yeah, I think Tunsil had two false starts in the first half, I think. Yeah. Was, you know, on the other side of the ball, you got no Jonathan Greenard, who is your premier pass rusher for this team. Will Anderson's out there, but he's banged up and he's getting limited reps, and he's your premier run stopper. So how were the Texans able to do this? How were they able to do enough? Again, we talked about it all season. The Colts have been able to do enough on offense. In this last game of the season, the Texans were able to, for the most part, again, they gave up 188 to Taylor. But somehow, when the moments were their biggest, they were able to get those big stops. It was all the way till the fourth quarter before the Colts got their first third down conversion. So how were the Texans defense able to do this tonight?
Yeah, against the run, Taylor's really good and had his largest workload of the season. I thought Blake Cashman had a terrible game. He was taking wrong angles and missing tackles. You know, you can have a bunch of tackles, but if it's because the team's keeping drives alive and getting first downs and running. Look, Gardner Minshew is a good backup, and credit to him and credit to the Colts for getting into this game with him being their quarterback most of the season. But he's not really a playmaker, and to stick with that word, the Colts lack a playmaker on the outside. Michael Pittman, he's a really good possession receiver. I think of Michael Thomas with the Saints 3-4 years ago before all his injuries and other stuff, that he could catch 130, 140 balls, but he didn't scare the hell out of defenses. Pittman had a couple catches in the first half and then was kind of in witness protection most of the rest of the game. I mean, the Colts, they probably should have signed T.Y. Hilton this week just to throw the scare into the Texans. Alex Pierce made a handful of big plays. He made no plays in this game. Josh Downs, the rookie, had a nice season, but until beating Desmond King on what turned out to be a failed final Colts drive, he was very limited. Mo Alley Cox, who Minshew missed on one deep ball, he's had drop issues this season. So I think Indy's kind of like the Texans after Nico Collins, minus Tank Dell, one more playmaking wide receiver. The Colts have that real need as well. And like the Texans, they are armed with a bunch of cap space in this offseason. And quite happily, from a Texan standpoint, the Colts draft pick will be higher.
And also look at their receiver. They didn't have one guy that even got to 50 yards in this game. So let's give credit, I guess, to the guys that stopped him. You know, Derek Stingley, Steven Nelson, they played great. Des King played well. He had some errors, though. You know, he had some penalties, the helmet to helmet, that hurt them a little bit. And, you know, Pittman just came back from a concussion a couple weeks ago, and he drilled him right in the head. So I wonder if that had a bit of a lingering effect. They did go right back to him on the very next play, which I thought was surprising. But, yeah, I'm going to give it up to the corners that they played well. I think Harris played well at linebacker. I thought he had some good plays, but there was a lot of missed tackles. They had Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, even on the big touchdown run. They had him in the backfield. They just missed the tackle and he took off for a touchdown. So I feel like D'Amico got it cleaned up kind of as the game went along. He figured some things out and they slowed down the run a little bit. But credit to the Texans defense when it really mattered, they bowed up and shut him out there in the end.
And let me throw a quick plug in for Cameron Johnston, who remains a consistent weapon at punter. I'm not saying the Colts, had they had a bunch of possessions starting at the 30, that they'd have racked up 70-yard touchdown drives, but I don't think they had a possession start outside their 25 the whole night. The one punt downed at the one. They had other possessions start inside their 15. And, you know, a non-elite offense, it's tough. If you have to make your living going 80, 85 yards for scores or 50, 60 yards to get into field goal range, right? They hit a 52-yarder, they missed a 57-yarder, and then hit a medium-range field goal, what, 38 yards to tie it at 37. Johnson every week does his job pinning the other team deep.
I'm going to throw you guys a curveball here, and I actually want the commenters. We've got a lot of interaction going on in the stream right now. So if you're watching with us live, I encourage you to comment. We'll try to feature some of those as we're going on here. Where does this win rank in Texans franchise history?
Well, look, they do have playoff wins, and you know, there was a first time winning the division, but it's such a new era. And after the last 3 years of such relentless, putrid, fetid garbage, you know, this feels dramatic in that they had to put together a fourth quarter touchdown drive and chase that with a fourth quarter defensive stop. But if Jacksonville doesn't choke or just lose at Tennessee, and the Texans, whether they're in Buffalo or in Kansas City or get a home game against Cleveland, if they don't advance beyond a round, right? The Texans have done that four times in their history. So I would put it in the second tier in terms of as it occurs, but this is foundation poured. Matt Schaub, I think, was a little under-heralded here. He had a couple three seasons where he was a legit top 10 NFL quarterback. But no one thought Matt Schaub ever had it in him to be a top two or three NFL quarterback. Matt Schaub quarterbacking a team as the leader of that team and the best player on that team to a Super Bowl. Now, with C.J. Stroud now, Michael Jordan would say, what, the ceiling is the roof? So that this is just the first course of what could be a many-coursed, fantastic meal going forward. But the here and now, they've certainly had a number of bigger wins than this one, unless there's a playoff run in this team.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Brandon. Jermaine, who writes for us on SportsMap, he wrote a column this week that if they win, he argued that this is the biggest win in franchise history because of what it leads to, what it means, what the future looks like, that this is just the beginning for C.J. Stroud. And we never looked at Matt Schaub as a guy that was, you know, a true franchise quarterback, top five guy in the league. And, you know, he had Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, and, you know, he had a lot around him. And CJ's throwing to Nico Collins and Schultz and pretty much nothing else in his rookie year. So it just feels like this could be the trajectory of something special. And this is the first piece of evidence that's coming. So you could make that argument, because I don't know about you guys, I never really felt like those Texans teams with Schaub were true Super Bowl contenders. I thought they were playoff teams, you know, that would win a playoff game or two, but I never felt like they were true Super Bowl contenders. And that's the way it played out. So I think CJ Stroud and what they're building here, I think they could be Super Bowl contenders moving forward, which is pretty amazing to have that turnaround in 1 year.
The Deshaun Watson team that had the huge come from behind playoff win against Buffalo, that's a greater win than this win. But of course, that was the last notable win of the Deshaun Watson era, when they go lead to Kansas City 24-0. And basically the franchise hadn't been heard from since until this year. So it's a revel in the moment. And obviously the hope for many bigger moments ahead is legit.
I would argue Deshaun Watson was terrible in that Buffalo game, you know, until the fourth quarter when they pulled it out, he was playing bad. You know, CJ, I mean, he looks like a real franchise changer in this game. So, and the other thing I just wanted to hit on real quick is these close games outside of the Titans game last week, the Texans have been living this every week. These games coming down to the last second, the last possession. So they were really prepared to play a game like this, and it showed.
As I'm thinking about this, I think 19-10 over the Cowboys, I think that's probably the most, you know, memorable, I guess, win to
thrilling and euphoric, the very first game, yes, and against the Cowboys,
exactly.
But not really meaningful.
Not meaningful.
Other than the joy as it occurred.
Yeah. Although not a whole lot of meaningful games to be played in this franchise. Is,
yeah. You know, the first playoff win over Cincinnati, the Watt interception before the half. And, you know, they have won four playoff games, as many over the last 25 years as the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
But that this is the tip of the proverbial iceberg that, you know, this is a franchise that over the next few years, maybe teams, opponents grow to fear facing C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and in on that Bengals game that you mentioned, you know, their first playoff win, that was kind of the emergence of J.J. Watt as a menace, as a defender, having that pick six before the half. And I thought that team was destined for really good things until Schaub went down, and then T.J. Yates had to lead that team into the playoffs, and we know how that ended up. Well, enough talking about the past. Let's talk about this game again, guys. I think there's a couple to choose from here. Charlie, start with you. Who's your player of the game?
Yeah, splitting the vote to me is always kind of a cop-out, so I presume I'll take one, and Josh, you can have at the other. It's a quarterback league, so for the last game of the season, the regular season, I'll go with C.J. Stroud, but if he's winning our little football Oscar of the week as lead actor, I think best supporting is pretty clear.
Yeah, so Charlie's going to go with CJ, so I'll take Nico. There's really two guys to pick from here. So, and you know, Nico stepping up like that, and they knew that's all the Texans had, yet he still kept getting open and making big plays. So, you know, CJ and Nico, you can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
Man, well, what a season. We'll do an early look, probably Wednesday, right? It seems like that might be the day to do the preview. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Texans!